Let's get around the word this morning, and I just want to bring something that I believe will be encouragement to each and every one of us. It's a word that God's put on my heart for the last month or so, and I've just been really preaching this, and it's actually called the battle of the mind, the battle of the mind. Because the battle of the mind is something that each and every one of us have to encounter every day of our life. We have to engage with every day. There is a battlefield, and the battlefield is in our thinking. It's in our mind. And I want to share a principle that God gave me as a new believer, as a brand new Christian, that really helped focus my life and help keep me into what God has for my life. And we're going to learn today of how we can control our thoughts, but also how our thoughts control our life. And we're going to just see this in the principle from the Word of God, because it's important that we actually do stop and think about what we're thinking about. Because we so often just caught up with life and we never stop to think about what we're thinking about. Well, this morning, we're going to stop and think about what we're thinking about, because we have such influence over our mind and our thoughts every day of our life. And I'm going to break that down a little bit more in a moment, but the media has incredible influence over us. In fact, one of the most powerful things that has influence over us is this. You know, our trusted iPhones or whatever we have, researchers, according to Business Insider, the average person touches their phone 2,600 times a day. 2006, and the worst offenders will go up to 5,400 times a day. The average person spends 2.5 hours on social media a day. And as a result, what that does, it sows incredible discontent, because social media, you just see the best of the best. You see the Instagram posts of your friends out on their holidays overseas. You see they're going to the best restaurants and hanging around with the cool people and driving nice cars and buying nice clothes. And you think, my goodness, you know, and it starts to stir discontent in your own life. And we begin to compare ourselves with other people. And we think, oh, my life's pretty boring. My life is pretty below average to what others are doing. But I want to say that's actually false advertising. It's actually false media right there, because that's just a snapshot of a high point of one person's life. But they try and make that this is a standard, this is a normal. And we begin to compare ourselves. And as a result, we often feel inferior, inadequate. You know, we just don't measure up. And so our life is boring, second rate. And what it does, our self-image is attacked. In fact, as we've been traveling around over the last few months, one of the things that we've noticed ministering to people around altar calls, so many young people, and particularly young women, their self-image is devastated. And it's simply because they're comparing themselves with other people. And people, we can only find out who we are in our relationship with Jesus. This world isn't going to give you identity. This world is not going to tell you who you are. Only Jesus will do that. But every time we actually pick up our phones, our thoughts are being molded by the advertising. When you stop and think about it, you know, advertising, media, it's all about sowing discontent into your life. Because, you know, well, if you're going to really be happy, you need to be driving this car. You know, because this is the coolest car. The cool people drive this car, you know, and you need to be buying this clothes. And we get these images and it just sows discontent. So well, what I have is not good enough, so I need that. And so all these thoughts come in, and I reckon that this phone just about reads my mind. You can be having a conversation, I think we should do a trip to Hawaii. And the next day, what comes up on your Facebook stream? Trips to Hawaii. I tell you, the media, they are listening right now. You hear it. Yeah, they are listening. But it shapes our thoughts. It shaped it all in an incredible way. Experts say that the average person thinks between 50 and 80,000 thoughts every day. Every day, you have 50 to 80,000 thoughts every day. And there is the power. This is how thoughts work in our life. And I think we have it on the screen. It says, sow a thought and you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character and you'll reap a destiny. And so show me your thoughts and I'll show you your future. So what you're thinking about Show me your thoughts, I'll show you a future. But the Bible teaches us, and this is what we're going to learn today, that we can bring every thought, those 50,000 thoughts, we can bring captive to the obedience of Jesus in our life. And this is how it works. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 and 5. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Casting down, you say, what's a stronghold? A stronghold is a thought that has a stronghold on your life. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And this is what I love, bringing every thought, everyone say, every thought captive into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul, if it wasn't possible to bring every thought captive, he would have never written it. But we can bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ according to the Word of God. Every one of those 50,000 thoughts we can bring captive to the obedience of Christ. Here's the powerful truth. Unless we learn to master our thoughts will master us. And today I'm going to teach you from the Word of God how to master your thoughts. If you change your mind, you will change your life, because your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thought. And so all of life's battles are either won or lost in the mind. Now the war that is constantly fighting us is the war against God's truth about you and the enemy's lies and deception to you. And so that's the battle. We're going to today learn to retrain or renew our minds starting today. The battle is in our mind. It affects our relationships. It affects our health, accepts our identity, our finances, our business, our work. It affects every aspect of our life. And so there are three principles that God gave me as a new believer that I actually have to practice this every day of my life. And today I want to give you this tool that you can leave here empowered to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And these are the three principles that we're going to just talk out of this scripture, 2 Corinthians 10. And that is to recognize, everyone say the word recognize. Number two is to reject and to replace. Recognize, reject, and replace. This is how we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so let's start, number one, recognize. Tells us in verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And what is that stronghold? As I mentioned earlier, it's a thought that has a strong hold on your mind. And the Bible says we can pull down those strongholds. Now, those strongholds, there is a reoccurring theme of a thought pattern that goes through all of our lives that keeps coming back again and again. And we can bring them into captivity. Now, that theme might be rejection. There's so many people that they just feel there's this theme of constant rejection, their thoughts of rejection right through their life. There might be thoughts of a theme of betrayal. They've been betrayed by so many relationships, and there's just an expectation. There's a thought pattern now that has betrayal, and that every time they get engaged with a new relationship or new people, they're just wondering and thinking, how long is it going to be before this goes south and they're going to walk out on me? Because betrayal has become a theme in your life. It may be abandonment, an orphan spirit. Perhaps your family has broken up and there's been a sense of abandonment, and that has been sown in your life and it's become a strong hold. And so there's a difficulty of getting intimate and really opening your life because of this orphan spirit in your life. It may be of poor self-image, and I spoke about that in a moment. And that's a big one that so many battle with, including myself as a new Christian, dealing with poor self-image. It may be failure. There's just that theme of recurring. You've had numbers of failures, and so you've begun to believe that I'm a failure. I can never expect to succeed. My life is, you've got a pattern of thoughts that's actually built around failure. It's a stronghold. It might be shame in your life. Shame of how could God may forgive me, but how can I forgive myself? And I am wrong, and and there's this shame that constantly goes with you right through your life. But recognize those thoughts. We need to, number one, recognize that stronghold. Recognize, what is that theme in my life that I need to bring into obedience of Jesus? Because we all do have themes in our life. We do have these reoccurring thoughts, and they're all different, they're unique, but where they come from is three areas. These thoughts come from the flesh, the world, or the devil. These three things. The flesh. You know, our flesh is our upbringing and experiences. It's the way that, our nurture, our home environment, what has been spoken over our life. The labels that people have put on you. You'll never amount to anything. You're not as good as your brother. You're not as good as your sister. If you were more like your sister, well, I'm telling you, you'd be a lot better person. And we allow people to put labels on us. You've embarrassed us. And so what happens, our flesh, our human nature, we are all fallen beings. We've fallen from the grace of God. And by nature, we are negative by nature. We are born, just look around. Look at the world, out of control. And we're negative by fallen nature. And we are, our thoughts will, by nature, be drawn to the negative. And if we don't learn to correct that, we'll just, our whole life, our whole disposition, because of the flesh, our fallen nature, our experiences, we look at life through a negative lens. I always say, you don't see life as life is, you see life as you are. And if our thoughts are filled with negativity, all you'll see and read, and you'll take everything as negativity in your life. You know, some people are so negative that you could put them in a dark room and they'd develop. The flesh. Another one is the media. And as I mentioned earlier, 2.5 hours is the average time on social media, and we compare ourselves with a lie that marketing sowing discontent, and that the discontent that comes out of the world, it's so prevalent. You see, the world promises if you achieve this, if you get that, you'll be satisfied. But it doesn't. It can never. Just I noticed last night on the news that one of, I think is it the sixth or seventh wealthiest man who's worth like $19.6 billion in Australia, his marriage has just broke up. And you can have all the wealth, but be very sad, very broken. You see, what the world puts as the, if you have all this, if you're given $10,000 this morning, I'd be a happy person. No, the world promises to please and to serve, but in reality, it enslaves and it dominates. And so the world will cause those negative thoughts. The devil, of course, is the other one. There's the flesh, the world, and the devil. And the devil will always question who you are. With Eve, he went to Eve and he sowed a lie. Has God said? Has God said? And he'll begin to sow discontent and discord. And has God, can God really love you? Can God really use you? Has God said? And we can have those thoughts of fear and of inadequacy. He'll mess with your brain, your thinking, sow seeds of destructive thoughts, self-harm, revenge. And the battle is in the mind. And so the stronghold. The word stronghold, that word literally means a prisoner that is locked in by deception. That's what the word stronghold means, a prisoner that is locked in by deception. Harry Houdini, one of the greatest magicians that ever lived, he was renowned that wherever he'd go into a city to do his thing or a town, he'd always say, take me to your local jail, lock me in, and I'll be out within 5 minutes. And inevitably, that was exactly what he would do. It was a great publicity stunt. They'd lock him up, and they would leave him alone, and 5 minutes later, he'd just walk out a free man. How does he do that? Well, one time he went to England, and so he had that same boast of fame, and so they took him up on it, and so they put him in a jail, shut the door, and let him to it. They walked out, let him. Well, after 5 minutes, Harry Houdini, his little belt, and he has a piece of very strong wire that was hidden in there. He's just his street clothes on and pulls it out, and then he starts working on the lock. And after 5 minutes, he couldn't get it. After 20 minutes, he starts perspiring and still couldn't get it. after an hour, he still, and after 2 hours of trying to pick this lock, he was totally exhausted and he yelled out, "I give up." And so they came back in, and you know what the problem was? The problem was that the cell or the jail, it was never locked. It was never locked. And he worked himself to near exhaustion. The only place that door was locked was in his mind. And that's what it's like with us, because the Bible says that Jesus has come to set us free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And those strongholds are a lie of deception, that Jesus has unlocked that door. All Harry Houdini needed to do is push the door open. He could have walked out. And it's so too with us. We have these strongholds, a lie built on deception in our life, but Jesus has set us free. And as we learn to recognize these thoughts, and then we're going to learn to reject them and replace them in just a moment, but we need to recognize those strongholds, and that's where God will set you free. You know, my stronghold as a new Christian, my stronghold was shame. I had messed up so bad in my teenage years. I'd embarrassed myself. I embarrassed my family. I'd sown such hurt and damage to other people, other relationships. When we got radically born again at 19 years of age, Evelyn and I, and I was like searching for truth and happiness, and met Evelyn on a discotheque in Salisbury club, nightclub. And it was John Travolta era. And I was the coolest dancer you ever saw. And it's another story. But Evelyn and I, we both fell madly in love with one another. And 6 weeks later, we got married and we didn't even know one another. And we were both on rebounds from broken relationships, the whole deal. It was just a recipe for disaster. And so we got married at Ridgehaven Church, and because our sister was going there. We knocked on the pastor's door on a Friday night and said, "Hey, got time to marry us, because we want to get married tonight." And he said, "Well, it doesn't work that way. It does in the movies." Anyway, they were very kind and gracious. He said, "I'll marry you on one condition: when you come back from your honeymoon, you come to one church service." And so we did that. And so we went away on our honeymoon. It turned out the honeymoon from hell. And I always say, love is blind, but marriage is the eye opener. Our eyes were open. We thought, this is the biggest mistake. We didn't know one another. We had so much baggage in our life. And so reluctantly, we came to a Sunday night service, and we came at Ridgehaven. This is in the mid-70s, and there were people worshiping the presence of God, and we came both convicted. The love that we're looking for can only be found in Jesus. We were looking for fulfillment in relationships and money and all this stuff. And at 19 years of age, they all delivered empty. We were broken. We didn't know whether we'd see we married 3 weeks. We didn't know whether we'd see 4 weeks of our marriage. It was so bad. That night we gave our heart to Jesus, and he just totally transformed and changed our life. And so, why did I say that? There was a story. There was a shame. So, thank you. So, shame, because of my very, and Yvonne had a history. I had a history. And the first thing we did is actually go back to Barossa Valley. We got saved, and God spoke to me about starting a church in the Barossa, because I grew up nice Lutheran, in a Lutheran town. And so God put a desire in my heart to go back there and start a church. I didn't know what it meant, start a church. And because I wanted to see our friends and family experience what we had experienced, the power and the presence of Almighty God. And so we went back and had a little house meetings. The pastor that married us and then led us to the Lord, he discipled us. We started having house meetings out the back in the Barossa, little dirt road, middle of nowhere. And all these people turned up. Within 3 months, we had 40 people gathering in our little German cottage. And it was the beginning of the AOG church in the Barossa. And so in that, God was doing great things, and we were radically born again. I knew God loved me. I knew I was forgiven, but there was this sense of shame, and I knew that God could forgive me, but I couldn't forgive myself, and that was a battle. It was a stronghold, and I could never. I was so locked up. I was so insecure. I was so inadequate, and it was shame was the stronghold in my life that God had to break that stronghold. And we all do struggle with our thoughts, and understand this truth. if all of your thoughts were put on that screen, for all the thoughts that you've been thinking for the last week, right, were put on that screen this morning, we'd all have to leave town. It's true, because there's battle. There's these random stray thoughts. And also understand, being tempted, and that's what thoughts do. They come by temptation. Being tempted is not sin. It's what we do with it. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And so it's been said that you can't stop the birds of the air flying over your head, but you can stop them from nesting in your hair. And it's like, you can't stop the thoughts coming, because the flesh, the world, the devil, thoughts come every day. Every day. You might have a thought now, what can I do for lunch today? And you're thinking about, no, discipline your thoughts. Recognize those thoughts. Get the word of God here. Focus. But we can't stop those thoughts coming, but we can stop them nesting in our hair. And so we're going to learn how to do that today, because the more you think, either good or bad, and this is, I love that science is catching up with the Bible. What they have let us research on the human brain is what they call neuropathways. You may have heard of it. But neuropathways is the way that we train our brain to process and think. And it's like this. It's like, if ever you've seen sheep out in the paddock, and we saw some out in the paddock this morning on the way here, you'll notice there'll be hundreds of sheep, but when they go for a walk, go from one end of the paddock to the other, they all go in this little narrow track, right? Because they've built this rut, and so it's so easy for all the sheep to come and gather and to follow on this rut that is worn in the path. That's how they travel. And our thoughts are like that, because we actually, through neuropathways, we start to develop a pattern of thinking, and we like a rut in our brain. And so all our random thoughts, they will all gather and follow that. They're all attracted to that pathway. Now, if that's a negative neuron pathway, we'll start to see life, ourselves, through a negative disposition. And that's the neuropathway. But the good news is this, that we can, the science says we can retrain the brain, but the Bible says we can renew the mind. And renew the mind, and so we can actually learn to recognize these thoughts, and we can build a positive neuropathway built on the Word of God, what God says about us. Not the flesh, not the world, not the devil, but what God's word says about us, because that's truth, and the truth will set you free. And within 28 days, you can build new habits. You can, and this is why we can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And recognize that thought and say, no, I'm not going down that negative neuropathway. I choose to go down a positive. I'm renewing my mind by the word of God. And so those positive and neuropathways and negative, the negative will always say you're not good enough, you'll never have enough, and all your thoughts gather around that. But we need to say, stop and wait. Say, no, I'm not going to allow those thoughts to rule my life anymore. I'm going to change those thoughts and send them into a new direction. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Message Bible. I think it should be on the screen. Don't become so well adjusted. This is so important in 2023. Don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you fit into it even without thinking. That's what we're talking about this morning, that we just let these random thoughts become so adjusted that this is just life and we fit into it even without thinking. And so our negative pathway, that neuropathway, will take us in that direction in our life. But it says, instead, fix your attention on God, you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out in you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And so right there is such a powerful scripture, because we find that the culture around us will drag us down to its level of immaturity around that negative neuropathway. But the Bible says that this is where God will bring the best out in you and develop a well-formed maturity in you. And that's through the Word of God, renewing your mind through the Word of God. And so today, I just want to encourage you that we can change, recognize our thoughts. You know, things that were spoken 30 years ago in private are now loud and proud, publicly. Children are accessing things that their mind, young minds, should never have to cope with because of media, social media, and so on. And don't fit into the thought patterns of the world around us. That's a, even in church, there is woke thinking is invading the church. That we start to, you know, it doesn't matter. You see, this world, even if the world calls wrong right, and the world calls right wrong, I want to say that's not the standard that we build our life on. Our standard is on the Bible, on the Word of God. And this is where we need to be people that are passionately in love with God's Word, God's truth, and live our life according to what God says about us. And so our identity, the strongholds that are keeping you back. I'm unlovable. I don't deserve it. I'll always be confused. I'll always be broken. I'll never have enough. I'll never have a meaningful relationship. You see, you cannot, notice this one, you cannot defeat what you cannot define. As you recognize that stronghold, I define that stronghold. I can defeat it because I recognize it in my life. It's a lie from the enemy, and I'm going to name it, and I'm going to attack it. I'm going to bring it into authority. Recognize where it came from and recognize where it'll take you to. Recognize those thoughts. Number two, the next one's a lot quicker. Reject. Reject. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know, the Bible says, cast down every vain imagination, every vain thought. How do you cast down? Well, I'll tell you how you cast it down. You simply say, I reject that thought in Jesus' name. When wrong thinking, those wrong pictures and images and thoughts come into your brain, think about what you're thinking about. Say, I reject that thought in Jesus' name. I reject that thought. You know, if you're alone, say it out aloud. I reject that thought in Jesus' name. Probably not a good thing to do in the middle of a shopping center. I reject that thought in Jesus' name. People, what's going on here? So, but you can say it in your mind. Recognize, reject that thought. That's not who I am. I am a new creation. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. I've been bought with a price. I have the favor of God. I'm accepted in the beloved. That's not who I reject that thought in Jesus' name. I'm training every one of my 50,000 thoughts to go down a new pathway. You used to go down that pathway, but now I reject that thought in Jesus' name, and I'm renewing my mind by the word of God, and I'm declaring what Jesus says about me. I'm building a new pathway. Now, this is the interesting thing about neuropathways. The more that you build that new positive neuropathway, it's like the grass begins to grow over the old one. And so those thoughts don't so easily go down that pathway because that's getting overgrown now. You're building a new pathway for your thoughts to see from and to focus from. And we can do that. Why? Because the Bible says that we have the mind of God. Bible says that the mind of Christ, he says, God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My plans are higher than your plans. But then it also tells us in 2 Corinthians that we have the mind of Christ. And so we can think God's thoughts. We can think God's plans through the word of God. We have the mind. You have the ability to renew your mind and to bring change. Recognize, reject. Remember, this is one of the things that this teaching was being fashioned or formed in my life. I remember we were just married and working through a whole lot of issues. But I saw an old girlfriend in the Brosser Valley. And I couldn't get her out of my mind for days. It was relentless. I just kept thinking about my old girlfriend and how nice she was and how mean my wife is. And I started to compare, and my mind went back to former things. My mind went back before Christ, BC, before Christ, and it became relentless. I'm thinking, I'm dreaming about. It was just, and I couldn't shake it. But finally, I mustered enough courage, and I realized I need to share this with Yvonne because it's gonna be the undoing of me. It could have actually destroyed our relationship, destroyed our marriage. So I shared with Eve on the battle I was going with, and thank God she had enough wisdom and spiritual maturity to say, well, let's pray. And I brought it out into the light. And this is where, you know, lies dwell in darkness. Strongholds dwell in darkness. And as I brought the light of to another person, you see, some strongholds you can reject in Jesus' name. You keep standing in the word of God and it'll break its power. But there are some strongholds that you can keep doing that, but it's just like, it's relentless. But that's why the Bible says that if we confess our faults to one another and pray for one another, you will be healed. And there's some strongholds in our life. The only way out of our life is by the way of confession and to a trusted friend, by a pastor, a leader, someone who's got spiritual maturity. I'm battling with this area. Would you pray? And I'm telling you, you will break the power of that stronghold, because those strongholds dwell in darkness. But when they're exposed to the light and the prayers and agreement, anything, two of you agree about anything, shall be done by, it breaks the power of that stronghold. Remember, some years ago, I had a couple that were in our church, and the man, the husband, was addicted to pornography. And I think it's probably one of the biggest strongholds that most red-blooded males, you know, battle with in their life. And so she was very concerned. So they came and saw me, and she said, Pastor, this is just getting beyond a joke. He's just on the internet. He's just looking at these images. And I said, well, how do you feel about it? And he says, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just admiring the form of the human body that God created. There's nothing wrong with it. And I said, no, this is going to bring devastation. Your wife, your future, and he justified. He says, no, I'm in control. It's just, well, within 2 years, he ran off into another relationship. His marriage broke up, and it devastated him financially. His family, he lost everything. Why? Battle of the mind. He never brought it into the obedience of Christ. And that's why I'm saying, doesn't matter how big the issue, the problem, the stronghold, our God is greater. And the word of God, the fellowship, we're not here to judge. We're not here to say, how dare you think? No, we all battle. We all battle with the same thoughts. And as we bring them into the light of God's truth. You know, Jesus, he was led up to the Mount of Temptation. And three times the enemy came to him with three separate temptations. And what did Jesus say? It is written. It is written. It is written. If Jesus needed the word of God to defeat the enemy, how much more do we need the word of God to defeat the strongholds of our mind and our thinking? That's why I'm encouraging this morning. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, in Ephesians 6, Paul talks about put on the armor of God. Do you realize that five of those pieces of armor are for offensive? That's to protect you from the attacks against you. But there is only one piece of armor that's aggressive. The one piece of armor five are defensive, one is offensive. And the five defensive is to protect you, but the one offensive is to take ground. And what is that? It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's why the word of God in our heart, in our mouth, is the most powerful thing. It will change your thoughts. It will change your life. I reject that thought in Jesus' name. And as we bring that down, bring that stronghold down, the power in confession and the truth of God's word. And this is the third one, is to replace. In verse 5, it says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So the first thing is to recognize, and the second thing is to reject that thought, but then we need to replace it. And it talks about bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Philippians 4, verse 8 is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's anything of virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. You know the word, it says meditate, whatever's good. You see, you are replacing the negative with the positive. Whatever's good, pure, noble, just, right, meditate on those things. And that word meditate, you know, a lot of people, Christians, get up, oh, meditation, that's New Age. No. Meditation is something that's been in the Bible, even Joshua. You know, meditate on the word day and night and meditate on the truth. And that word meditate, any farmers here, dairy farmers, you know, the cows have not one, not two, not three, but four stomachs. And when it chews that grass, It's a miracle, isn't it? A brown cow eating green grass will produce white milk. I think it's wonderful. But it'll take that grass and it'll chew it and it'll send it down to stomach number one. And then after a little while, it'll just regurgitate it and come back up. It'll meditate more and more and more and send it down to stomach number two. And it goes up and down until it's fine. It's taken every bit of nourishment from that grass before it finally sent it out. And so the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God. This is why it's important. Listen to good preaching. Get this sermon online. Listen to this word, this truth. Get your Bible. Get your scriptures. You see, there are over 5,000 promises in the Bible. And there is a promise for every stronghold, every difficulty, every situation you're facing. There's a promise from the Word of God. I want to say, get hold of that promise. Write it down. Put it on a little card. Keep it on you. Meditate on it day and night. Confess that word. And as a new Christian, I remember I had a building company. I started a building company way back in the 70s. And I'd spent a lot of time driving my ute around, visiting clients and customers and doing building and stuff that you do. But I remember I would write down the scriptures and I would quote them, confess them over my life. And it would go deep within my heart. I'd meditate day and night. And so it started to change the way I think. And one of the scriptures that God gave me says, he finds me, finds life and attains favor from the Lord. And so I started to declare, I have the favor of God and the favor of man. And I'd take the word of God. I got the favor of God and the favor of man. I'd go into business negotiations. Before I'd go in, I'd say, I got the favor of God and the favor of man. And I'd go there and find great favor and great blessing, great opportunity, doors that open. Why? Because I'd been speaking God's word over my life. And so every step of our way, the areas of struggle, of shame, 2 Corinthians 5:17, any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have come new. I'm no longer that person. Old has passed away. The new has come. And I'd start saying, I am a new creation. That's who I am. I'm no longer that person. And I start building a positive neuro pathway through the Word of God. Does that mean I don't still have battles and struggles in my mind? Of course I do. While we're still on planet Earth, those thoughts, so the battlefield is in our mind. It's always going to be there in every season and different but I take the Word of God and I bring it into subjection and the obedience of Christ. You see, your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thought. And that's why we need to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And your life will move in the direction of your strongest thought. Show me your thoughts, I'll show you your future. Show me your thoughts, and I'll show you your future. Recognize these three things. Wrong thoughts. Reject. I reject that thought in Jesus' name. And I'm going to replace it with God's truth about you. You know, one of the most powerful truths is not just the Word of God, but the prophetic promises that God has spoken over your life. The dreams, the visions, the things that God has put in your heart. Don't just lose them. But whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is good report, set your mind, meditate on those things. And I'll bring the promises of God and I'll bring that. And this is, you know, Paul talks about to Timothy, he says, you know, take heed of the prophecies delivered to you and by them wage warfare. What was the warfare? The battle of his mind. And so Timothy, the prophetic words that God's spoken over you, wage warfare by the promises, the prophetic words given to you. And there are promises. There is visions and dreams. There are promises that God has given you, even in an early, and we can forget, die. That's not going to happen now. You're too old. It's too late. No, wage warfare. God will cause all things to work together for good. What God has said, God will do. You see, God's word, as he spoke the world into being, God's word in God's mouth, I want to encourage you, as you speak, God's word in your mouth has the same authority. Because you will see breakthrough as you speak the word of God, as you speak it over your life, speak it over your circumstances. And it's a battle. If a battle is in the mind, the enemy wants to fill you with a negative neuro pathway of life. But Jesus wants to build that positive by the renewing of the mind, that you bring your thoughts into the obedience of Christ. And as a result, I recognize, I reject, I replace. Say that with me. I recognize, I reject, I replace. You can take those three simple truths and apply them today. And this is a life-changing message. It'll change the way you think. It'll change your direction. It'll change your future as you apply this in your life. We've been living this for the last 48 years, and we're just growing more in the understanding. And it's a daily battle. And I just want to encourage each one of you today that God is wanting to take you into an incredible future, an amazing future, your family, your future, what he has for you. And so this morning, we're going to close this service. And I just want to, let's have our anointed guitarist to come. Thank you so much. And our minstrel is just going to play some anointed background music, because there is something about music carries, and it releases the anointing of God. Saul, when he was tormented in his mind, the musician David would play and it'd bring him peace. And there's something about the Word of God, music. I want to encourage you that God is wanting to take this deeper from your head to your heart this morning. He's wanting to bring a change and transform your life as we just bring this to land it in our hearts and lives this morning. You know, there are people here today that you've been struggling, and as I spoke about strongholds, you've identified what that stronghold is. You've seen it for what it is. You recognize where it came from, the disappointment, the hurt. You've recognized it. But today, we're going to call that out. Where it came from, it may be from experience, it may be from the world. Recognize where it comes from. But today we're going to reject, say, Lord, I'm not going to be ruled by this. I reject those thoughts. I'm going to replace them. Lord, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. I'm not a failure. I'm an overcomer through him. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whatever the stronghold, there are people here that are battling that sense of loss, that sense of failure, sense of... There are people here, abandonment. Where was God in this? I want to say he's a friend that sticks closer to the brother. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Behold, I'm with you to the ends of the earth. Take that word, speak it over your life. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy, because that's a lie of deception. The truth is what God says about you. And whatever stronghold today, people that are bound by fear, God has not given to you a spirit of fear. There are people who are fearful about the future, fearful about their finance, fearful about their job. No, God has not given to you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a, what, speak to me? A sound mind. What's a sound mind? A sound mind is a mind that's being renewed by the Word of God. And this morning, you can change that spirit of fear. Perfect love casts out fear. I'm loved. I'm accepted. Whatever the stronghold is in your life this morning, can I just invite you to stand for a moment? And I just want to pray a prayer of faith over your life. And I want to invite you right now just to lay hands on yourself.
I just feel God saying too that another area is in marriages. And I know, like I said, we didn't know each other. And the names that I used to call him were horrific. If he ever called me that, I would be devastated. But, you know, often when I would say or call that into him, I'd speak something over him, you're this or you're that, and he would look at me and he'd just say, I reject that in Jesus' name, I am not that. And it really pulled me up. And then it would be the same if he said something that was negative to me, I would say, I reject that in, I'm not that in Jesus' name. And it really helped us speak life over one another and expect life over one another, instead of drawing out and speaking all the bad things that we see, to start saying, no, we're not that, I'm not that, and I reject it in Jesus' name. So I just want to say that was a tool that really helped us in our marriage to start to speak life over one another.
That's right. The scripture says there's death and life in the power of the tongue. That's why we need to speak words of life, what God says, not our feelings, not our experience, not our hurt, not our frustration, but the word, what God's word says over us, our families, our spouses, our future. And I want you right now, including me, just lay hands on yourself. Put your hands on your forehead, because this is where the battlefield is right here. It's right now in the mind. That's the battlefield. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we call out every stronghold, every lie, every deception of the enemy that's taken our thoughts captive. We bring them to the obedience of Christ this day. We recognize where they came from. We recognize where they're going to. But, Father, today we recognize, but, Lord, we reject, we cast down that stronghold in Jesus' name. We want it out of our life. Father, we reject that thought. We reject those thoughts patterns in Jesus' name. And today, from this morning forward, Lord, we will replace our thoughts, with your word, your truth. And Father, we'll take those promises and we'll start speaking them, declaring them over ourselves, over our families, over our spouse, over our finances, over our future. Father, we'll declare what you say, Father, over our lives. Father, we thank you that you are renewing our minds through the word of God this day. Father, we bring every thought captive into the obedience of Jesus from this day forward. Father, we tell those thoughts right now, no longer do they have power, no longer do they have authority, no longer will they set the agenda for my life. But God, our life, our mind is being renewed by your word. And Father, we declare it, we receive it, that victory is ours this morning through Jesus Christ. Father, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, we thank you, recognize, reject, and replace in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare victory right now and just give the Lord a praise right now. Just give him a shout of thanksgiving. Give him a shout of praise. Lord, we thank you that our victory is in your name this morning. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we receive power for breakthrough in your precious name. Thank you, Holy Spirit.